Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Father, thank you. It is a privilege to be here with you today, God. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing this church, God. Thank you for choosing these people today, God. We've assembled ourselves here today for something greater than any individual that's here today, God. But corporately, when we touch heaven, heaven opens and declares things to us today that sets us free, that shapes us and molds us into your image, God, releases us from our past, and puts us into our future, God. Somebody say, that's what I came for. So, Lord, if they really came for that today, you will deliver that. And so, Lord, use this next moment. Take me out of the way. Let your spirit fill this place that this word may come forth with clarity, God, and life-changing aspirations in all of us. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a little bit different message today, and got some things I'm going to do, so everybody just make sure you stay seated. Okay? Unless you get up for a praise shout or something like that. That's permitted. Okay, of course. But how many of you know that right now, seemingly, a lot of people are talking about how it's getting darker in our nation and world. Yeah. It's like the light's not shining as bright through the whole world's in controversy and up rip roar, and Satan's just having a heyday, amen? Yeah. So the days are getting darker, and darkness and night has always been equivocated to when evil begins to take hold. Okay, in the night, sin loves the nighttime. It cloaks itself, or it thinks it does anyway. And not going to go over the whole chapter today, but in Matthew chapter 24, you don't have to turn there. You can just look there today, later on. But in Matthew chapter 24, it talks about some of the signs of the end of times as things in the world will get darker, okay? And here's just the list you will find, and it's just a quick list, okay? The Bible says in the last days, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Well, how many know we're in the middle of that? Yeah. Nationwide. It says, nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, in case you don't know, and I know I've preached this to some of you here before, make sure, nation against nation does not mean a territory. Nation means race. Yes. National races will come against each other. And then when it says kingdoms against kingdoms, that means
how many? Nobody's in the booth. How many know?
Yes.
How many of you know that when Satan fell, he fell into the sound system?
Yes.
But it says nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Kingdom is territories. Kingdoms means countries. Let's real quickly go on. Then it says these things will happen. Famines will happen. Pestilence, which is diseases and pandemics and epidemics. Pestilence and earthquakes. And it says that's just the beginning of sorrows. Everybody say that's the beginning. And then it says you will be delivered up to tribulation and be killed for his name's sake. That's what the Bible says. Then it goes on and says you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake, says the Lord. We're seeing that in our own nation now, not just other nations. And then it says, many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Boy, we see in the division of that. Are we not? Oh, I could preach on this all day, but I got to get to what I want to get to. Then there's three more things it says. It says, false prophets will rise up and deceive many. That's happening right now. And then it says, lawlessness will abound. It's just peaceful protest. And then it says, the love of many will grow or wax cold. Wow. And how many know our nation, the world's doing that, but our nation and other nations around the world, man, we're just racing toward all this at a rapid pace right now. And inviting it in and loving it in some areas. Hopefully not in your life. So that's on the national thing that God said would happen. And then you take and you bring it just to our society in America that we've seen the collapse and the decay of America. Yeah. Now here's the list of America right now. Our morals and standards have just went to nearly nothing. Amen. Nothing is righteous. Nothing is sacred anymore.
Right.
Okay? And then you take and you're in America, we are now calling what the Bible says. We're calling good evil and evil good.
Amen.
We are. We're declaring that in our laws, even some of them. And then it says here in America, we are the leaders at murdering babies in the womb.
Yeah.
Not abortion, murdering babies in the womb.
Yeah.
Amen? Are you listening?
Yeah.
And there's, if a certain party gets in our next election, they're trying to pass a law that not only will it be in the womb, but it'll be also when it comes right outside the womb.
Yeah.
You better pay attention.
Yeah.
In our nation, we have perverted what God calls marriage. Plain and simple, not against nobody, but I'm against anything that goes against the word of God. I'm against that sin and all other sin. Okay? And then, of course, in our nation now, we have the gender issues. Well, and I've already said enough. Just check the plumbing if you're confused. It'll let you know real quick what you are. But see, gender confusion and gender dysphoria, whatever you want to call it, it really breaks down. When you're an adult, you can make your own mind up, even though it's perverted. But when you're starting to mutilate kids, somebody needs to step in. And we're allowing the mutilation of our children at a young age. They ain't old enough to do anything, but yet you're going to let them pick and go have a surgery? My friends, that's not surgery. That's called mutilation. That's called sacrificing to Baal. And then, of course, that leads me into America is between us and another nation. We're the number one sex trafficking nation in the world right now. That's back to slavery, y'all, sex slaves. And it's coming in the form of not too many adults, but mostly teenagers and children. And right now, because of we don't have a border, the low estimate is 230,000 kids that no one can account for have come across our border in the last 3 years. That's some estimated as high as, and that's what we know of. 230 is the low number, 300 plus is the higher number. Now, I'm not going to try to be too political today, but you understand. Under the last administration, there was what's called a crossing of a DNA test to where if a man or a woman was bringing a child 18 years or under across our border, they would say, who is this? I'm their aunt, I'm their uncle, I'm their mom, they're your dad. Well, quick, you do a DNA test. It takes about 5 minutes. They can either do a snip of the hair or a swab of the mouth. And if DNA's match, yes, you are, Ken. Go on through. Under the current administration, in the first 2 weeks, they cut out the DNA testing. There's evil all around us. So no DNA checks at our border anymore, and sex trafficking has gone wild in our nation. So that's just our nation. So we have the world and what Jesus declared in Matthew 24 that's going to happen, and we see that happening. Then we have our nation as a result of what's happening in the world. And then that's bad. Everybody say, that's dark enough. And then because of all that, we get into our personal lives. So we go from a nation to a country to us with the darkness. Now, in our personal lives, I know everybody here is, see, this message, either you've been through it, you're going through it, or you probably will go through it. So this message is for everybody today.
Amen?
Everybody say, hey, everybody get some of this.
Yeah.
So today, let's get it on a personal level. How many of you are married? Happily. Same amount of hands. Smart. If you're happily married, your marriage is a target. So your marriage is constantly being tempted to fall apart, to get an argument. Why? To cause a perversion of marriage, which would be divorce. Especially if kids are involved, okay? And if you got kids, that's a whole other level of temptation for dark days to come in through rebellious children. Somebody say, imagine that. And then in our nation, if you're trying to make a living, it sure has gotten a whole lot harder. So we're stressed out and worried about our money and our job situations and jobs going here and not there and everywhere else like that. And so we have the stress of that. And then and across the world, pestilence and sickness and diseases. And we get sickness and diseases are coming all the time. Seems like left and right, more and more people are getting sick every time you turn around. The hospitals that I know of right now still operate, and they're all, most of them are at maximum potential and capacity because sickness is rampant. It's diseases. And then you call sometimes from the doctor and they give you that bad report that you didn't want to get, and your day got a little darker. And then because of all of this, we got depression, anxiety, stress, and worry is rampant in America now. We quit learning how to cope with bad news and darkness. Come on now. Amen. We have quit trying to learn how to cope through the Word of God and the light of Jesus Christ when darkness comes on. Actually, a lot of times we're even making it darker on ourselves in these times. And then I don't know anybody right now that's not dealing with some kind of hurt, habit, or hang up in their life to some degree. And then because all these just got three more, we have failures. And anytime we have failures, it don't matter where it is in the world, in our personal life, especially in our personal lives, we begin to have the guilt and the shame that comes on us. And the Holy Spirit will bring conviction, not condemnation. But the enemy will bring condemnation and guilt and shame and tell you you're not good enough to stay in the darkness. That's where you belong. You're not good enough to come to the light of Christ. Somebody say he's a liar. And then all this stacks up on the individual person. All the worldly stuff, the nation stuff, and then your personal issues. And no wonder we are walking more in darkness than we are light now. And the two things that keeps us from coming out of darkness into the light. You ready for this? Our pride and unforgiveness. Those are the two things that'll keep you shut up in your darkness. Pride. Everybody say pride goeth before destruction, and unforgiveness. When you don't walk in unforgiveness toward people and things and events that's happening in your life, you are trapped into the darkness. Let it go. Amen. Amen. So go ahead and put up the first note tonight, or this morning. It seems darkness is getting more and more of our life than light is. How many would agree with that? Even in the church world today. Come on. All this is going on, not outside the church. It's going on inside the church, too. From the pulpit to the back door. Come on, our front door for y'all. Now, I want to take us real quick. We're going to run through a lot of scriptures today, okay? And I'm going to try to do it in a timely manner, but I got a lot to cover today. So just bear with me real quickly. But if you go into the book of John chapter 8, I'm just going to read one of the verses, and this is the words of Jesus Christ. The setting is the woman caught in adultery. Everybody say, hey. Now, how many know she just entered into a real dark season? She was in some darkness because she was willingly committing sinful act of adultery. But now it got a little darker because she got caught in the act of adultery. And under those laws and those customs of that time, she was about to be justifiably by the law put to death for her sin. My friends, you are at almost complete darkness there because your lights is fixing to be turned out. She's fixing to be stoned by the religious people. And we all know the story that Jesus steps in and begins to write in the sand and the dirt there. And then he looks up and says, anyone without sin, let them cast the first stone. And it says the people drop their stone. But then it also says something that the church needs to learn too. Now that's grace beyond grace right there. You talk about light coming into the final darkness. Jesus stepped in, brought his light into her final dark moment, and he lit her life up. Amen? But listen to the words, the last few words. It's not going to be on the screen today, but he told her, the last thing he told her is, hey, listen here. They don't condemn you no more. I don't condemn you, but here's what you need to know. I want you to go, now listen to me, and sin no more. He didn't sugarcoat her. He didn't coddle her. He said, you're sinning. I've come in here, I've got you off the hook, now stop sinning. Go on and don't do this again. Because next time I may not be there. Because he physically had to be there in the flesh now. We have 24 access now, thank you Jesus. Somebody say thank you Jesus. But then the verse right after he told her that, John chapter 8, verse 12, still the words of Jesus. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, now watch what he says. He declares this out of his own mouth. Words of Jesus, he says, I am the light. Not one of the lights. I am the light. Amen? I am the light, not just of your world right now, but I'm the light of the whole world. That means I'm the light of the Buddhist world. I'm the light of the Muslim world. I'm the light of everybody's world. I'm the light of the world. And he who follows me, Jesus, shall not. Everybody say shall not. Shall not what? Shall not walk in darkness. Plain and simple. If you're going to be in the light of Christ, you will not walk in the darkness of the enemy. You won't want to dance in it. You won't want to put a toe in it. Well, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Everybody say, thank you, Father. Now, we go on down to John chapter 12, the words of Jesus Christ again, written in red, 12 verse 46, Jesus declares, I have come, here's his mission, I have come as the light into the what? World. Everybody say my world, my circumstances, my home. Come on, declare it, my home, my marriage, my kids, my finances, my sickness and diseases and afflictions and anything else the enemy can throw at me. He comes into your world. He brings light into your darkness if you open up. I come as light into the world. Why? That whoever believes, not everybody believes, but whoever believes in me shall not, everybody say that next word, shall not abide in darkness. Everybody say abide again. Now the word abide there means tabernacle. It means a dwelling place. It means some darkness is going to come. He knows we live in a fallen world. There is, again, national things happening. Your country, social things are happening. And in your personal life, in your marriage, in your finances sometime, the enemy sends darkness over everybody's land. But he says you don't have to abide in it. So many people today, a little darkness comes in and they pop the tent out. Get them a little thing to try to build something to stay a little bit warm and get their little camp chair and just sit there and, oh, woe is me. And about the only thing you might do is you might get online and post your sorrows where everybody can feel sorry about you. Come on now. I will say that again. You sit down and you get your little phone or whatever you do out and you make sure you post it on all your platforms where people can see, oh, bless me, I'm in darkness. And somebody will reach out to you and try to share light, but you won't receive it. Because if you got that light, you know what you'd have to do? You'd have to break camp. You'd have to get up, get out of your chair. You'd have to pack up your tent. You'd have to put out your little stuff. And you'd have to pack it up and you'd have to march on. That's when you come to the light. You don't stay in the darkness. You don't abide in it. We're not saying nothing don't ever come that makes you mad or makes you sad or upsets you or disappoints you or whatever. But we're saying you don't live there. Faith does not deny there's a problem. Faith just denies it becoming your identity. Well, thank you, Father. If you go into Acts in just a moment, chapter 26. Talking about Paul's conversion. Paul was a murderer of Christians and he got knocked off his horse by the Holy Ghost and got sent to a house. He trained for 3 years, got his sight back. He was blinded. Miraculous, prayed for him. Cornelius' house, got his sight back. Cornelius trained him for 3 years into ministry and released him into the ministry because God spoke a prophetic word to Paul in his conversion. And if you look at real quickly in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, God was speaking to him. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to send you to the Jews, you're going to the Gentiles too, which that was unheard of. Okay, you're going to take this message to everybody. This light is not to be contained in just one little area. This light is going to shine and light up the whole world. He didn't say, I'm the light of just the Jewish people. I'm the light of just Bethlehem or Jerusalem. I'm the light of the world. And this is for anybody. This is for the whosoever's may come. Amen. But in Paul's thing there, he's telling Paul, he says, I'm sending you not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And in chapter 26 of Acts, verse 18, it says this. Here's the reason. I want you to open their eyes. Somebody say, open your eyes. I want you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Now watch this, and from the power of Satan to God. Oh, that's good. Because in the dark, in this context means you're walking in Satan's world. You're believing Satan's lies. You're falling for his tricks. You've been deceived by him. So therefore, you are in Satan's will for your life. But he says, when you come and take the word of God that sets them free, you're going to take them out of the satanic realm, and you're going to bring them into the godly realm. You're going to take them from the darkness into the light. You got that? Amen. Now watch this. From the power of Satan to the power of God. Why? That they may receive, number one, forgiveness. Not unforgiveness. Forgiveness of your sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, I could camp out right here and preach probably a three-part sermon just on this one verse. But I ain't got time to do that today, okay? But everybody say it's in faith in Jesus. Amen. This stuff doesn't come because you have a good thought or a positive moment or you're trying to do a little better with some self-help books. It comes through one way and one way only, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. And you have to have faith before you see it, before you hear it, and especially before you ever feel it. You will stay in darkness as long as you operate in your feelings. But you learn how to get into your faith, and it'll bring you out of your feelings. And it'll bring you out of darkness into the light of our glorious Heavenly Father. Say amen to that, church. Now watch this. Those who are being sanctified by faith in me. Everybody say sanctification. You know what a quick definition of sanctification is today in the concept of this message? Sanctification is the process of you not staying in the darkness. It's the process of you packing that tent up and putting it on your pack and saying, I'm not going to live here. I'm going to walk out of this thing. I'm being sanctified to the light. Yeah. Amen? Thank you, Father. Real quickly, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says this. This is the message which we have learned and heard from him, and we declare it to you. Amen. That, well, let's look at this now. God is what? God is light, and in him... Woo! Come on now. Look at the scriptures today. Don't just listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the scriptures. In him, this message that we have given and heard of him declares to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Not a smidgen. Not a little corner. Not underneath. Not beside and not above. No darkness. See, we happy if we can just walk into a slightly lit up place. Just enough where we may not can stumble. We're cool with that. Amen? But he says there ain't no darkness in him. So in other words, he don't settle on that little compromise we settle for sometimes. He don't justify any darkness. Because light always eliminates darkness when it's there. It cannot be in the presence of light. But when light is absent, that's where you get your darkness. And don't try to light up one part of your life and leave another part dark. Well, that's all I got to say about that. But go on to verse 6. Now watch this. If we say and declare that we have fellowship with him, how many say I'm saved? How many's happy about it? Okay, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all didn't act like you was real happy about that. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but now watch this, but we walk in darkness, watch this now. We, you, I, me, we all lie. We lie. I walk with Jesus. Not in darkness, you ain't. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Now watch this. And we don't practice the truth. Truth has to be put into practice. Truth doesn't become truth until you do it. You can talk it all day long, but it doesn't come to nothing until you put a little action and unction behind the junction. Amen? Some of y'all getting quiet now. Verse 7. But if we do walk in the light as he is in the light, watch this, we have, everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. What's what he says first? We have fellowship what? With one another. That's why you show me your friends and I can show you your future. Amen. That's why you show me you're trying to walk in the light, but you're hanging out with all the darkness. Amen. Mm-hmm. We have fellowship with one another. Watch this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from somewhat things of our sin. Man, let me tell you something. The problem that it is, we're trying to do this with our own blood. We're trying to do blood, sweat, and tears to make our life better. We're trying to do blood, sweat, and tears to make our marriage work. We're trying to do blood, sweat, and tears to earn a living. Blood, sweat, and tears to keep a nation. And let me tell you something. Our blood, sweat, and tears won't gain squat if it's not covered in the blood of Jesus. Because my Bible says, Jesus Christ, he cleanses us from all sin. Everybody say everyone. Every one of them. That means none of them can tell on you anymore. None of them can come up and expose you anymore because they done been put under the blood of Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, thank you for the blood. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you once were darkness. For you were once darkness. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, you too. Now look at your other neighbor and say, your precious thing too. You precious little thing, you too. You were once darkness. We all were. We were born into it. Well, now watch this. But now, and this now means when you get the blood of Jesus, now you are light in the Lord, not light of yourself. That's another problem the church seems to have. We light ourselves up instead of lighting God up. Come on. You are the light in the Lord. And then he gives a direct command here. Walk as children of light. Quit walking back toward the dark things of life. Quit going back to the vomit. The Bible says, will a dog return to his vomit? Yes, he will. You ever seen a dog do that? It's nasty. So why, it's no different when we come out and we walk in light and we turn and go back to the darkness. That's like going back to your own vomit. I don't care how real we got to get it. Maybe it'll wake some of you up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He, Jesus Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do not get excited about that statement, whatever you do. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness. Yay! Watch this. And conveyed us into the kingdom of his son, of his love. Amen? Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
In whom we have redemption, again, watch this, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Now, I want to read that to you out of the Passion Translation. Real quickly, just bear with me here. The Passion says it like this. Go ahead and put it up. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. Into the kingdom realm of his beloved son. Next verse says, for in the son, all our sins are canceled and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. That's what Christ does for anybody and everybody who comes to him and says, I surrender not some, but I surrender all the darkness. I'm walking out of my darkness into the light and the love of Jesus Christ. It is a transformation that no way else you're able to get it except through Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many people you help in life and good deeds. Works will not get you there. Works is a result of you being saved by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, whew, y'all okay? Everybody say the military. Now I'm getting into the real part of this message. Set it all up to go here. In our military for years, we've had a huge advantage in combat. And this is the title of the message. It's a military slogan we had for years. When we went into fight, especially on the ground fighting, door kicking in and street fighting and guerrilla warfare, we would go in because we had these special devices they could hook onto a helmet and bring down. And they said, we own the night. We own the darkness. When nobody else can see, we have the technology and the capability of seeing in the complete dark. And because they can see in the night, they can kill anything in the night, in the darkness. Now, We still have that capability in our military, but thanks to a botched withdrawal, not a botched, a planned withdrawal from Afghanistan. Some of you may not remember this, but about 3 years ago, right after our nation had an election, we decided we were going to get out of Afghanistan. And we left people, Americans, and a lot of equipment for our enemy. And in that equipment, I'm talking helicopters, airplanes, Humvees, thousands of guns. But in that leaving, we left 16,000 plus latest generation, highest of technology, night vision goggles to our enemies. And you can look online now and see the foreign invaders, the Taliban, Afghanistan, the Al-Qaeda, and all of them doing operational nights with our military gear and guns. Now, that's just free for you. Go ahead and put up the next note. So what are we talking about here now? We own the night. Say it. We own the night. It's not just for our military, but it is for the army of the Lord. Whew, come on, you need to get this. Whatever the darkness is in your life, in the world, in our nation, and in your personal life, whatever dark season you have and are going through, look at this. Through the blood of Jesus, we get night vision. From the Spirit of God, we've got a self-built-in ability to begin to see through the night, through the darkness, the blood of Jesus, and what and how to come out and or kill the enemy in the dark. And it's time the church learned to warfare in the dark places, not just sing hallelujah when we're in the light. Can I get a better amen there? See, God doesn't want to live just on the outside of you where everything is lit up. How many of you ever heard somebody declare over a child or somebody growing up, they got a dark soul? I see darkness in them. Now, on the outside, you can put on. Come on. On the outside, you can look like light all day long. Smile. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Inside, you're full of hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness, anxiety, fear, sickness, disease, afflictions, all on the inside where it's dark on the inside. There's not a bit of light on the inside of you. That's why they have to run lights in you to see what's going on. But I'm telling you, in the supernatural, when God comes in, we don't say, oh, we got saved and the Lord lives around me. What do we say? He came into my life. He came into the dark places. He came into the night times in my life. He came into that dark corner of my heart. He came into that dark thought still haunts me in my mind. He still comes into the dark place I failed and somebody keeps reminding me of it every time I turn around. He came, brought the light. He's not the God of just your outside. He's the God on your inside. Where the darkness is. And when he comes inside you, you're no longer dark inside. You glow from the inside out now. Woo! Anybody ever seen somebody go through a transformation like that? Yeah. I've seen a handful of people in my time. I've seen more overseas do it than I have here, but I've seen a few people here. You could see the darkness on them when they come to the altar, but bless God, they pray. They surrender their life. They pour out their heart. They literally have a glow about them when they get up. Their countenance changes on them. Their skin tone changes on them. Their eyes begin to illuminate. Why? Not because of what's going on outside, but because of what's happened in the darkness. Because light got brought into that dark heart, that dark soulish realm, that dark mind where they had said they didn't think we have no hope of getting out of here. What happened? They got some night vision. And they learned how to attack the enemy on his territory in the darkness. Can I have a better amen to that? Amen. Amen. You see, when you begin to, and even as Christians, even though we get saved and we get light, sometimes darkness comes. But our darkness first shows up on our outside. But it quickly wants to make its way back in our minds and in our hearts and our soulish realm. And when you begin, if you've got a relationship with God, see, this is where, when you get born again, you get born again into the special forces. you get special equipment that civilians don't have. And one of them is, immediately, if you'll pay attention, you are issued some night vision. Why? Because he knows there's going to come some darkness. And he wants you to have the ability to see prophetically in the dark. So when you begin to operate and prophesy off the word of God, and you begin to see things during prayer in the darkness, and God says, I'm going to speak to you in dreams and visions in the dark times. That's why when you close your eyes at night, two things are invading your darkness, either God or Satan. And when you begin to reverse the role and God begins to give you dreams and visions when you close your eyes, it's prophecy. And prophecy is nothing more than you got night vision. You're seeing what God's wanting to do in this. You see how God's going to use you to get through it or to it or out of it. And who you can help bring along with you. Because night vision ain't no good just for yourself. I'm fighting for my friend, family and friends. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. So prophetic seeing in dark times is nothing more than the ability to have night visions so you can see things in the dark times from God's perspective. Because every one of us go through dark things. Your marriage may be in a dark place. Your kids may be a prodigal in a dark place. You may be in a dark place. Your past may be coming back up to haunt you at times. But you got night vision if you'll pay attention. Oh, come on, somebody say, get your night vision on. Now, I want to put up a duh, stupid comment, but it's very profound. Go ahead and put up the next note. People only realize they're in the darkness when they figure out they can't see the light. Duh. But see, so many times in our life, Satan doesn't just come and turn everything out. He comes and dims it down a little bit. And he lets you adjust your eyes. And then he takes and he'll dim it a little more. And then you adjust your eyes to that. And then he dims a little more and dims a little more until one day you realize you're sitting in pretty much a complete blackout. And you're like, I don't even know how I got here. It is an amazing process. And so, just real quickly, I want to do that in here to show you kind of an example real quickly. So if we could dim the lights just a little. Let's take it down just a little. How y'all doing? I can still see y'all. Y'all pretty good. Amen? And so now if we sit here for another 30, 40 minutes, your eyes will adjust and get used to this. And you won't think it uncommon. Now those watching online and later on, you're just going to have to hang on through this. But once you get to this level, he wants to take you to another level. Go ahead. And there may be some darkness out there, but there's still some light in some areas. And then he wants to take you to the next level. Go ahead. And this is what most Christians look like. This is what Sunday looks like across America. Three-quarter darkness, one-quarter on what we want people to see. Let me say it again. Three-quarters of our life living in darkness and guilt and shame and unforgiveness and who knows what else. And it's real. And then on Sunday, we dress up and we come and we put one little light on one little part of our life and try to act like everything's okay. But once you get used to this, he'll take it a step further. Go ahead. He'll begin to dim that part. And eventually, you'll get to this. I don't know how to make them go off, or I would. But isn't it amazing that hardly any of you noticed those lights until the dark went out? Now, whoever is you turning your phone on, turn them off. I see what you're trying to do. But isn't it amazing you really didn't notice this light until you got into the darkness? Now this whole room is filled with darkness except this one little spot right here, and there's a little bit still of my iPad illuminating under this right here. But for the most part, it's pretty dark. If I challenged you if something, an emergency happened, to get up and run as fast as you can to the exit, what would happen? somebody to be hurt or possibly killed from being trampled on because you can't see. You can't see good enough to walk yourself out of here, can you? You can't see good enough to get yourself out of the darkness. But what you begin to do when you begin to look at a little light, I guarantee you, most of you, if you needed to see something going on in your life, you would run up here and say, oh, what time is it? Oh, can I read an instruction here? Where will you go? You'll go to the light. You'll go to that door back there that says exit. Why? Because you'll focus on that one little bit of red light over there and you'll try to make it to that light. Or you'll go to that door. But it only takes one small light to begin to light up the room. Little bitty light, and now you can light up a room. Now go ahead and turn the lights back up. All of it. Turn everything back on. It's coming back on. Takes a few seconds. Now all of a sudden, this don't hurt as bad, does it? Probably just need to have an altar call right now.
How many people
right now are living their life like that? You don't look for the light while you're walking in it, but you sure do hunt one when you're in the darkness, especially if you're wanting to come out or you get a little fearful in the darkness. You start looking for the light. But the Bible says even the devil will appear as an angel of light. Yeah. To deceive you. That's why you need to know the word of God for yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that's not ashamed. That way, when the wrong light comes at you, you don't walk to that light. You go to the light of the gospel under the blood. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. Now, what was that darkness? How did that darkness come in here? It was waiting, but it couldn't come in, could it? It was all around us just waiting for an opportunity, but it could not come in as long as the lights are on. So go ahead and put up the next duh note. Darkness is simply the absence of light. As soon as we got rid of the light, darkness will always come. So as soon as you let up on your praying, as soon as you let up on your worshiping, as soon as you don't think God's been good enough to you and he ain't showed up in your time frame or done what you wanted him to do and you're disgusted with him, you disgusted with your marriage, you disgusted with the pastor, you disgusted, yeah, that darkness will come in. Why? Because you're walking away from the light of God. Whew. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. But again, the reverse of that is light will always, when it comes on, it'll always, the darkness has to leave. You notice the darkness didn't try to stay?
That's right.
It didn't say, let me have a little corner. When that light come on, that darkness has to go. And it's the same thing with your past and your sin and your sickness and your disease and your afflictions and your unmet expectations. When you walk it into the light of Jesus Christ, it has to go at the name of Jesus. The Bible declares that. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Why? Because he's darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Well, but here's our problem. We get a little darkness, then we get a little more, then we get a little more, and then finally we're just walking around almost like in a pitch black cave, just kind of trying to feel our way through life. Oh, that'll preach. We're trying to feelings our way through life because we're walking in the darkness. And then all of a sudden we come to realize I done failed two or three times. I done bumped my head. And I'm tired of this. And all of a sudden, we deep into this cave, and all of a sudden, we turn to Jesus, go, Jesus, come light me up. After years of darkness, you want Jesus just to come in and solve all your problems because you just decided. Now, he'll come into your life and light you up from the inside first. But Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, say, Jesus.
Jesus.
See, the darkness is oftentimes our own creation. It's not Jesus. But we'll run to Jesus in the darkness, and Jesus knows our hearts, our thoughts, and our intents better than we do. And sometimes, you know what we want? We want just enough light to get to the new darkness we got planned. So we can get to that next post. and blast somebody. Come on. But we want Jesus to come light us up on a darkness we created for years sometimes. Now, this may hurt your feelings. Jesus does not parent his kids the way we parent our kids in today's times. Jesus don't coddle them in the dark. And sometimes Jesus will leave you in the dark to when he does come on the outside and begin to bring the light, that you'll appreciate the light for a change. Not use it to your benefit and then go back to your darkness. Because remember the word? If we say we in the light, but we walk in darkness, we're a liar. Remember that word? And that's why sometimes, seemingly, he acts like he's not the light in our life. Why? Because he wants you to sit there till your motives are pure. And when you get pure of heart and pure of mind and pure of soul, body, and spirit, he's inside you, lighting you up on the inside. He's giving you that night vision of how to come out of there. But because some of you don't know how to work night vision, because you want to be just a bunch of religious Sunday people, and you don't know anything about spiritual warfare Monday through Saturday, you've been issued a piece of gear by the Holy Ghost called night vision of the Holy Ghost. And if you just pull that thing down during the darkness and begin to look, you'll see the way out. Amen? I even brought night vision goggles with me today, but I ain't got time to show you this. A while ago when those lights were turned out, all I had to do was turn this on and I could see everything you were doing through this one little device. Every one of us has one of these in our dark places. And there's a screen of your life. All you got to do is turn it on in the night and it'll show you what's going on. It'll show you how to defeat the enemy. It'll show you where the little suckers are hiding at. It'll show you how they're plotting up over here to take your family down. It'll show you how you've got a plan for your marriage to destroy it. It'll show you who's involved and who to stay away from. It'll show you the place to run to. It'll show you the people you need to be around. But you got to look through the... You got to use the gift. The equipment you've been given is given of God. Use it. Use the night vision and own your night. Amen? Oh, I got to hurry. We done in overtime. Everybody say overtime's the best part of the game anyway. What's the difference between overtime on a ball game and church? You complain about church, but you hoot and holler and think it's the best part of the football game. Because you know what darkness does when you realize you're in the darkness? And you're ready to come out, and you're really ready to come out, you ain't playing no games with Jesus. Listen to me real closely. Darkness will humble you. Darkness will humble your pride. It'll humble your unforgiveness. It'll humble your identity back to who you are in Christ to realize, I am nothing without Christ. And I can't come out of here. I don't know which way to go, left, right, up, or down, but I know to cry out to Jesus. And that's when you don't just get the light inside, but you start getting it outside too. So darkness humbles people. Now, I'm going to try to go real quick because you may be excited here, but our children's workers are probably going, what are they doing? 2 Chronicles. Now, I want to read this to you. Now, this is going to be up on the screen. Now, there is no translation of this except my made-up translation. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we're all familiar, but I want to read it to you out of the MDCT, Modern Day Church Translation. Go ahead and put up the Modern Day Church People Translation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will pray and seek my face, then I'll just turn, I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. That's real close to being the truth. But that's today's version. That's the church version today. The church that's walking still in the dimness, in the dark. Can I show you the true translation of that? There's some very key things in here. See, this is the elementary greasy grace, I don't want to be responsible verse. Let's go ahead and put up the real word of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, now watch this, will what? Humble themselves. You got to be humbled before you pray the prayer. If they'll humble themselves and pray, and seek my face. Now watch this. This was left out of the other version too. I do this, and oh, by the way, and you got to turn from your wicked ways. What does that mean? That means once you pray and you hear from God, you get up and you walk out of the darkness. You walk away from the darkness. You don't associate with the darkness. You don't go back to the darkness. You're not of that darkness no more. You turn from your wicked ways. Then, everybody say then. All of this is contingent on being humbled and walking out of the darkness. Every bit of it's contingent on the two things most Christians don't want to do today. To humble ourselves and actually turn away from our sins. Then I, God Almighty, nobody else will hear from heaven, and now I'm going to forgive your sins and I'm going to heal your land. Woo! Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you can give me a little praise break right there. He's good. Amen. All right, come on, Ryan. Let's start winding this thing down. I still have 3-4 more scriptures, though. Don't panic. It's okay. Psalm 139:12. So what do we do when we're in the darkness? Indeed, in darkness, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. Darkness is coming. It's here. It was here yesterday. There'll be some darkness in the land today. Darkness is waiting. Darkness is a cycle that comes. It's not going to hide from you. But the night shines as the day. Oh, what does this mean? Next verse. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Or did you hear that? The darkness and the light to a child of God, there's no difference. Why? Because you got night vision. You can see as well in the darkness as you do in the daytime. Why? Because you're born again. You saved, you sanctified, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got power, you've been equipped to handle anything the day throws at you or the night throws at you. Let me read it to you in the Passion Translation. Same verse, go ahead. There is no such thing as darkness with you. Amen. Come on, wave at me. There's no such thing as darkness with you and I. Amen. The night to you, it's as bright as the day is. See just fine. Woo! The night to you is as bright as the day. There is no difference between the two of them. And that's the Bible saying that about darkness in a believer's life. That means when you go to sleep tonight, you sleep good in the light. I sleep with the lights on every time. Now my room's blacked out, but my light never goes out because of Jesus Christ is my light. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, now, if we've got this light, we've got an assignment. Listen, if somebody say, I got some light. If you've got Jesus, you got light. He's the light of the world. So you got an assignment with your light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine. Let your light shine before men, not in private. Oh, not just on Sunday at church. Let your light shine in the line at Walmart. At your high school, at your elementary school, on your college campus, around your friends, around your coworkers. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That means they're going to see the light of Jesus in you, and it's not going to bring you the attention. It's going to bring God the attention. Now, you're going to be part of it. He's using you, but make sure he gets the glory. You get the assignment, he gets the glory. That's the way it's supposed to work. All right, real quickly. Everybody say quickly. Psalm chapter 24, verse 7 through 10. I'm going to read it to you out of the, and I'm going to read it to you the Passion. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. In this instance, you are a gateway. You're a gateway to the light of the darkness on earth. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, as the King of Glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is the King of Glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, he's mighty in our battles. Amen. Next verse. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. The King of Glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is the King of Glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He's a King of Glory. Selah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
I know some of you ain't following that good, so let me read it to you out of the Passion Translation. Go ahead and put that up now. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your head, you ageless doors of your destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. Woo! He's about to shine through you. Verse 8. As you ask, who is the Glory King? The Lord armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, invincible in every way. Next verse. So wake up, ye the living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you gates, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. He's ready to come into your darkness. He's ready to come into your mind. He's ready to come into your marriage. He's ready to come into your sickness and diseases. He's ready to come into your finances. He's ready to come into your children. He's ready to come into this church. He's ready. And it's not just anybody. It's the King of Glory. Verse 10. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of victory, armed and ready for any battle. He's the Mighty One, the invincible commander of heaven's hosts. Yes, he is the King of Glory. Pause in his presence and give him a little shout of praise if you don't mind this morning. Stand on your feet this morning. Let's take a little praise break, about 10 seconds, and let's lift the roof off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. You know what happened to darkness just then? Darkness flees at the mention of Jesus Christ. Whew. Bow your heads. Father, we want to thank you right now for the work you're about to do. We've brought it all the way to this point right now. We don't deny the darkness is there, but we deny it access to control us by faith in Jesus Christ. Some of you here today, you're going through some things. Lost loved ones, way too early. Jobs, marriages, bills, the world, the wars and the rumors of the world. It's just heavy on you. And there's that dark cloud. And God already knows you in the darkness, but he says, I've equipped you, son and daughter. So begin to reach up there from your knowledge area, your mind, and begin to pull down that prophetic night vision. And if you can't see the way out, if you'll take that night vision and begin to read the Word of God in the night, begin to pray the Word of God in the night, and watch as the light begins to come from that Word. You see, the Bible declares, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Why? Because in the morning, the sun's still going to rise. And it's going to bring the light, and it's going to dispel the darkness. And the same thing will happen in your life if you're ready. And then somewhere else in Psalms, it says something like this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. If you want to know the true way out of your depression, the true way out of your fear and your anxieties over whatever it is you've got it, over your disease, over your afflictions, over generational curses. Let the Word of God light you up today through the blood of Jesus. It's a light unto my feet, and it lights up my path that I can walk out. Get your night vision on, because you own the night. If you're here this morning and you've been walking in the darkness of what we call being lost and without Jesus, you've never surrendered your life to Christ, and you realize today, I'm in darkness. And I've heard about a light and I've seen sprinkle signs of it, but I've never went to it and asked it to come into my life. And we're not saying everything is going to be taken care of in an earthly realm right out of the gate. I never make that promise. But we can promise you, if you've secured your light inside you, that'll never go out. And if something happens and you leave this world, you're still lit all the way into your eternity in the eternal light of God through Jesus' blood. And if you've never made Jesus Christ the light of your life and turned your life and surrendered everything to Him, we offer you that today with no strings attached. You will not join a church today. You will not become religion. We don't offer you religion. We offer you the King of Glory who's got a kingdom. And if you want to surrender your life to that King, the one and only King, just lift your hand up and say, I'm not waiting any longer. Right now's my day. Today's my day. Just lift it up anywhere. Anyone. Well, if you're watching online and the light's come through this word, then send us a note. Send us an email or text or however. We want to pray with you and just lift you up. But how many would say today, number one, you've got to acknowledge you've got night vision. You're equipped. How many would make, I want you to make that declaration. If you're a child of God, say this when you say, I'm equipped, special forces equipped with night vision. And I realize today that if I use it, I own the night too. And you've just taken away every bit of Satan's power, because he only operates in the dark. So get that night vision on. Read the Word of God in the night. And watch the lamp begin to illuminate. As those lights came back on in here, you'll begin to see things light up around you. And my friend, you're going to have to walk some new paths. You're going to have to make some different decisions in the light. But you're going to see if you look, because you won't be able to deny it. So Father, right now, we just lift our hearts and our hands up to you. Just lift your hands up to him and say, thank you for your night vision. Thank you for equipping me with the Word of God. Devil, you fixing to get it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, give him praise in this house. Hallelujah.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.